Our reading will be coming from Exodus chapter number 2, starting at verse number 1. Please follow along as I am reading from the New Revised Standard Version, and it reads, "Now a man from the house of Levi went and married a Levite woman. The woman conceived and bore a son, and when she saw that he was a fine baby, she hid him 3 months. When she could hide him no longer, she got a papyrus basket for him and plastered it with pentamen and pitch. She put the child in it and placed it among the reeds on the bank of the river. His sister stood at a distance to see what would happen to him. The daughter of Pharaoh came down to bathe at the river. While her attendants walked beside the river, she saw the basket among the reeds and sent her maid to bring it. When she opened it, she saw the child. He was crying, and she took pity on him. 'This must be one of the Hebrews' children,' she said. Then his sister said to Pharaoh's daughter, 'Shall I go and get you a nurse from the Hebrew women to nurse the child for you?' Pharaoh's daughter said to her, 'Yes.' So the girl went and called the child's mother. Pharaoh's daughter said to her, 'Take this child and nurse it for me, and I will give you your wages.' So the woman took the child and nursed it. When the child grew up, she brought him to Pharaoh's daughter, and she took him as her son. She named him Moses because she said, 'I drew him out of the water.'" Amen.
Amen.
Turn to your neighbor. Grab your neighbor by the hand. Look your neighbor square in the eye. You're looking at me, you ain't looking at your neighbor. Look your neighbor square in the eye. And say, neighbor,
neighbor,
give it
to God.
Neighbor,
give it
to God. Amen. You may be seated. We have entitled our message this morning, "Give It to God." Now, you know when we run into problems, Deacon Aldridge, we always run into problems when we try to grab everything and try to fix it ourselves. You know, Jay Shell, while you was in college, I know you are an excellent student, but I know that you had at least that one or two classes that was just causing you to want to pull your hair out, want to call the teacher a few names, but you hung in there, you made it through, because you recognize where your help comes from. But what happens to us, my brothers and sisters, when we feel that since we've been on this Christian journey for a while, Brother Mosby, sometimes we think that now that we've come this far, that, Lord, I know you got my back, but I'm going to try to handle this one all by myself. That is the one thing that will always get us. But let's take a look at this story. Because as we take a look at this story, we see it as a story of a caring mother. We see this as a story which makes me think about what Jeremiah said. Jeremiah said that God told him, "I knew you before I formed you in your mother's womb." So even before Moses was formed in his mother's womb, God had already put the plan together to use him to be the one that is going to lead the people of Israel out of Egypt. So it tells us that a Levi man married a Levite woman. And they had already two older kids. They had Miriam and they had Aaron. Now she gets pregnant with her youngest child. It doesn't say to us what his Hebrew name is, but the name that he is known by was given to him by an Egyptian. Yes. And what we know is that prior to his birth, Pharaoh, go read in Exodus chapter number 1. There was a Pharaoh that came up that did not know Joseph. And this Pharaoh was looking at the Hebrews, looking at how their numbers were growing rapidly. So in order to reduce their numbers, we got to kill the boys. So what he said was he had instituted an edict, which is a law, saying that you are to kill all the boys that are born. And this is what he told the midwives. The midwives were, their sole purpose was to preserve life, not to take life. But Pharaoh says to them, look, if the child is born and it's a girl, cool. If it's a boy, kill him. These sisters, you know, even though they might have been those that worship many gods, many statues, but God touched their lives, would not allow them to kill the boys that were being born. And when this happened, Pharaoh starts seeing the numbers increasing, and he goes to these midwives, hey, what y'all doing? And you know what they said? You know, they did tell a lie. I want you to know they did lie. Well, something about them Hebrew women, boy, once they start going to labor, they pop them babies out before we can get there. So Pharaoh said, okay, I'm going to take it a step further. Kill all the baby boys. And then if any of them are born, kill them. Now, just think, once a husband and wife are about to have a child, isn't that supposed to be a time of rejoicing, a time of excitement? Deacon Boo, you remember when you and James was about to have Gabriel? He was probably as tickled as he possibly could be. You know, looking to say, that's my woman, boy, she carrying my baby. Woo! You know, back then they weren't checking ultrasounds early to find out the sex, but he just said, my baby up in there, and I know that's my baby because that's my wife. So it's a time of excitement. But look at these two. They could not be excited when they knew that if it's a boy, Pharaoh's going to kill him. So you know what I could, what I think possibly this mother could have done? Utilizing my spiritual imagination, I can't go to scripture and base it on this, but I truly believe that once she heard what this edict was, I can see her praying to God, Lord, she was praying like this, Violet, Lord, let it be a girl. Lord, just let it be a girl. Because if it's a boy, they're going to kill my baby if they find out. Time for labor to come. Her water breaks. She goes into labor. She has the child. Lo and behold, it's a boy. Now, she could have got frustrated and said, Lord, you ain't answering my prayer. But the Bible says here that she said she looked and she had and saw a fine baby. Now, I don't know of one mother up in here. When you had your baby, I know every mother in here believe when you had your baby, my baby is the finest. Mothers, that's a time for y'all to really say amen.
Amen.
Amen. You gonna let somebody look at their baby and say that baby prettier than yours? Oh, mothers, do I need to just preach about how you need to love your children and look at them and see? Oh, let me stop. But here we're seeing, when she looked and saw that it was a fine baby, she said, there's no way I can let my boy be killed. So she takes him and she hides him in the house. Now, anybody who knows about newborns, babies are always crying. Now, could you imagine that every time for those first 3 months that the baby got a little agitated, she was trying to find out what was wrong to stop it from making any noise. You know how it was when you used to bring your youngins to church? And all you would do was shake them and say, baby, just shh. And then when they were able to sit next to you, swinging their feet in the seat, and you tell them, if you make any noise, you're going to make a whole lot of noise when I get you home. So they learn how to sit there and... But you can't say that to an infant. You can't say that to a newborn. You just got to try to find out what's wrong to keep them... Could you imagine where they lived? There's always patrols around. Imagine that even when she got in her pregnancy and this law came out, she probably hid herself because she didn't want nobody to know she was pregnant. And now the baby is here. She's rejoicing, but she wants the baby to be quiet. So for 3 months, she hid him. You see, this was a faith journey, y'all. Because don't you know? If by her hiding her baby, if Pharaoh found out, he could have not just killed the baby, but killed her, her husband, and her other two children for hiding this baby. So she stepped out on faith with the expectation that God will provide. You see, sometimes in our lives, we got to step out on faith. When we got to go against the grain of what everybody else is doing. And realize that as we're doing it, we know it's going to be all right. Because God will. Because when we serve a God who provides for us, who sustains us, who maintains us, we recognize that the Lord will always be right there. Do I got a witness in God's house for anybody who had to put their trust in God, no matter if you are going against the grain? I want you to look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, stay with us. But something happened. You see, babies don't stay infants forever. So this baby started getting bigger and bigger. Now, when they get bigger, Brother Kearney, they start making a little bit more noise, a little more rambunctious, want to move a little more. They don't want to just sleep now. They want to look around and observe and check stuff out. But he is now gotten too big, Mother Austin, that they just can't hide him. A decision has to be made. And the same thing is true about us. There's some stuff we stepped out with God, and when it started out, it wasn't that big. But through our trust and staying with God, it's now gotten bigger than we can control. And if we hold it and continue to hold it, eventually, it ain't gonna last. You see, the baby's mother had to recognize that he was now in a situation, they were now in a situation where a decision had to be made. Because if she keeps him in the household, eventually it's gonna get found out. They're gonna come, take him, and what? She didn't want that to happen. She didn't want to hand him over to the Egyptians. Because if she did, they would what, y'all? Kill her. Don't you know that's just like the enemy with us? The enemy ain't happy that you done gave your life to Christ. He remembered you back in the day. And he came real close to getting you to jump off that edge. But the Lord stepped in right on time and wouldn't allow the enemy to do what? Kill us. Because the enemy comes not but to what? Steal, kill. But God stepped in right on time so that we are still alive. Now I got a question to ask you. Are you happy that you are alive? Are you happy that God has blessed you? Are you happy for what he's done for you? If you're happy, you ought to say hallelujah. But come on, let's go on back. I didn't got excited. Don't get off track. Stay with me, kid. Check this out. Now, she has to make a decision. He can't stay here. I can't hide him. But I feel that she knew Violet, the routine of Pharaoh's daughter. She knew that Pharaoh's daughter comes down to the river to bathe. So she said, I'm going to take a chance. I'm going to give my baby to God. I'm going to put him out there. And God, it's in your hands. So she made the basket. The pitcher moon, she put around it at the plaster. She put the pitcher in it to make sure. But she didn't put it in the water. She put him amongst the reeds on the bank. And then she left. But her daughter Miriam was watching the basket from a distance. Do you realize that God always has an angel watching over you at a distance? Sometimes real up close and personal. But God's always got a guardian angel looking out for his children. You know, I am thankful. Because I don't know about you in your life. I ain't always do everything right. But God had one of his angels watching over me. And I ain't all that in a bag of chips, two sodas and a side. So if God did it for me, he was doing the same thing for you. He had an angel watching over you from a... Oh, okay, come on, let me get on back. But what's happening here is this. It now came time for Pharaoh's daughter to come and take her daily bath. So she's walking along the river, looking to see the best place to go in. It ain't like us, how we wake up in the morning and go turn the shower head on. You ain't got to worry about nothing coming out and biting you. Come on now, work with me. So they are examining the river to make sure that wherever she goes in at, it's going to be a safe place. Her attendants are there with her. And how are they going to explain to Pharaoh how they allowed a crocodile to eat up his daughter? Are you working with me? So Moses, well, his name wasn't Moses yet, but he was strategically placed by the riverbank in the reeds in an area where Moses' daughter normally comes. But she didn't know for sure. But what she said is, God has been faithful. I have kept this baby with me for 3 months, and God has protected him. But Lord, it's gotten too big for me to do it all by myself. I need your help. So she places the child there, and God just takes it from there. And when she sees the basket, she sends one of her servants to bring it to her. She opens it And immediately she sees a baby who begins to cry. And she immediately knows that it's a Hebrew. Now, remember, she's Pharaoh's daughter who knows the law. So as soon as she saw it was a baby and it was a boy, they supposed to do what? But I want to let you know something. God can use whom he wants, when he wants, and how he wants. Don't you know, Violet, he can use the folk that hate you the most to be your biggest blow. Oh, I get excited when I look at this story. Because what is taking place right now is that God has now allow this baby to be in the hands of the enemy. The enemy that's supposed to kill him. But God, when God has a plan for your life, I don't care who tries to stop God's plan. God's plan will always come to pass. I don't care how they try to push you away. God's plan will still come forward. I don't care how they try to snuff you out. They can't snuff you out because God's plan will always come forward. So when she saw it, the Bible says she had pity on the baby. You know what happened here? This is a woman who had a mothering spirit. There's not one mother up in here that will allow a child that is not even your own to be killed in your presence. All right. Mothers love children. Might not always like the way they act, but mothers love children. Might not always want to keep them with you, but mothers always love children. You're a grandma right now. You love them to death. You spend some time with them. But then you call them and say, baby, come take them home now. You know, I done raised you and it took you forever to leave the house. But you come and get them because they got to leave right now. I had to throw a little humor in there. Everybody working with me? But what we have to see is that God just welled up the mothering spirit in this woman. God allowed two enemies to become friends. And it was so amazing because once she saw the baby, she got excited and she had pity on him. Miriam, who was looking from a distance, when she saw the baby, rather than Pharaoh's daughter frown up, she had a glow and a smile. And immediately, God told Miriam, you had to get on over there. Miriam took off, ran over to her, and said, would you like for me to go and get one of the Hebrew women to nurse the baby? Now, I know as she's looking at the baby, and she looks and said, where did this girl come from? And before she knew it, she said, yes. Lord, I just told her to go get a nurse to take care of this baby. You see how good God is? You see how God can take a negative and turn it? You see how God took a no and made it to a? You see how God took something that was down and God what? There is no telling how good our God is. And what you think God can't do with whomever, God can do a great work. But it's left up to us to first give it to God. So once the mother handed the baby over, now when she's going back home, she don't know what's going to happen? But she said, Lord, I trust you. All right. I've come this far by faith. I ain't going to turn back now. And Lord, and if it's your will to take him, I thank you for the 3 months ahead. But Lord, I don't want his life to end now. But Lord, no matter what, I trust you. And then once Pharaoh's daughter said to Miriam, yeah, go get me a nursemaid. She ran home. She grabbed her mama. And she said, mama, come on. What are you talking about? Just come on, mama. I'll tell you why we're going. She said, the baby is all right. And you're going to nurse him. And I can see the mother walking, trying to understand. And she now gets into the presence of Pharaoh's daughter. And Pharaoh's daughter says, good, I'm glad you're here. You can't nurse him, right? She said, sure I can. And you know what Pharaoh's daughter said? Well, check this out. Here, I'm going to pay your wages. I'm going to pay your wages to take care of this child. And once he's nursed, then I'm going to come and get him. And I'm going to take him up to the big house. And you know what? I can see her leaving with that baby, thanking and praising God. Because God took the enemy to watch over my baby. And I don't just have my baby back. He can holler as much as he wants. He can run around as much as he wants, Sharonda. He can be as bad as he wants. And he is protected. Because the hand of God is on. And on top of that, she is getting paid to take care of her own child. You see how God can what? Turn it around. I don't care how bad it looks for you right now. God can still turn it around. I don't care how rough it is. God can still smooth it out. I don't care how tough it is. God can always tenderize it. I tell you, we serve us a mighty. You see, God can take your enemy and use them to be a blessing to you. And I can see Moses' mother, every day she walks around that house shouting and praising God. All her neighbors think she done lost her mind. They don't know why she's doing it. But she said, that's all right. You ain't got to always know my story. But what you got to know is that we serve a God who works in our stories, blesses us in our stories, makes a way for us in our stories. Do I got a witness in God's house? Is our God a good God? Is our God a way maker? And you only know that when you give it to God. Wait a minute. Some of y'all ain't get it. So let me give you another analogy to help break it down. Can I give you another analogy to help make it a little clear? There was this mother and father who had 3 young children. I think the oldest one's maybe about 7 or 8. Youngest one's about 3 or 4. They bought them a nice little house. They doing well. They ain't got a whole lot of money, but they doing okay. But then the husband gets called home to glory. So the mother is left to fend for the small ones. They had a small insurance policy. And you know, the first thing you got to do when you got an insurance policy is you got to make the necessary arrangements to send your loved one home. And after doing all that, wasn't really nothing left. She was working a lot of hours just to make ends meet. But the ends weren't meeting. It appeared that she had more bills than she had money. And now she has gotten to the point where it's tough. She's got to make a decision. Because she's maybe got enough food to get them through about a day, maybe 2 at the most. And when you got 3 little boys running around, they said they want to eat 24 hours a day. And she's looking at, if I go buy this food, then I can't pay the mortgage. And if I don't pay the mortgage, we won't have a roof over our heads. So I got to go pay the mortgage and see what I can do to make this food stretch. I saved roughly about enough food for maybe a day, day and a half, two at the most. So when she went and paid that mortgage payment that evening, that next morning, she went out on her back porch and she just prayed to the Lord, Lord, yes. I'm giving it to you.
Yeah.
It's too big for me to handle, Lord. I can't fix it by myself. I paid the mortgage, but Lord, I only got enough food for about a day. Two at the most. I need your help, Lord. But she also had a neighbor next to her because the houses weren't that big and he was close. And that neighbor next to her was an ornery older gentleman who didn't believe in God. He truly let you know he was an atheist. He didn't believe in the existence of any God. So when she came out there that morning praying, you see, in the morning was his serenity time for him to sit on his back porch and just enjoy the nice, cool breeze. And he heard her over there doing all that hollering. He looked at her, sucked his teeth, went in the house and slammed his door. And that next day, that next morning, she came back out again. She said, Lord, it's in your hands. We barely got enough for this day, Lord. We still got a roof and I'm thanking you for it. But Lord, it's too big for me. I can't fix it all by myself. And the neighbor was over there and he was now getting really agitated, fully annoyed with her. Second day in a row, she done messed up my serenity time. Went in the house, slammed the door. And on that third day, she came out, this time praying and crying. Lord, we ain't got nothing in the house. No food, Lord. You done took my husband home, but Lord, what am I going to do now? I'm putting it all into your hands. And Lord, I thank you. I don't know how, but I just thank you. I can't see it now, but I just thank you. I don't believe you brought me this far to leave me now. Now that old ornery neighbor was sitting on his porch. Now he is really perturbed. He said, this is the third day. She done messed up my serenity. Brother Phil, he said, I'm going to put a stop to this. That brother left, took him a shower, put his clothes on, got in his car, rode to the supermarket, bought about $250 worth of groceries, brought it to that woman, put it on her front stoop. He rang the doorbell, and as he walked away, she opened the door. She saw all the food. She began to thank and praise God. He said, oh, no, we ain't going to have none of that. That brother turned back around, walked over to her, looked at her and said, wait a minute. Why are you praising your God? Your God ain't provide you with the food. I paid the $250 for the food. Don't you know, girlfriend started shouting even more. Tears came even more. He said, woman, what's wrong with you? He said, Lord, I thank you because you just used the devil to buy my food. I want you to know we serve a mighty good God. Don't you know he can use your enemy to be a blessing to you? Do I got a witness in God's house? All you got to do is give it to God. All you got to do is give it to God. God will make a way. God will bless. Do I got a witness in God's house? Anybody not ashamed to thank him? Anybody not ashamed to praise him? Oh, what a mighty God. Woo! You see, God can take anything and anybody and use them. Could you imagine how that old ornery dude looked? You know what? I just bought that woman this for. Oh, Lord. Oh, I said the word Lord, huh? But you follow what I'm saying? How this guy could have been thinking? He called himself shutting her up. But God was using him to be a blessing to one of his children. But check this out. He was still also one of his children. You see, folk ain't got to believe in God for God to love them. Oh, somebody going to work with me. Somebody going to work with me. You see, Pharaoh and his people were polytheistic. They believed in multiple gods and worshiped idols. But that doesn't stop God from loving them. So God's love was poured into Pharaoh's daughter and let her know that when you saw that baby, you saw somebody who was made just like you, and you can't kill him. Compassion. God loves everybody. It's left up to us to recognize that we are loved. But until such time, that's why there's enemies in the world today. Because folk don't realize that we all made by the same God. I'm going to take it a little closer. We even got enemies in the church. Folk mad at other folk because of whatever reason. It's time for us to put aside every difference that we have. Because we serve the same God. Jesus ain't just died for you. He died for everybody. He loves everybody. So we need not to hate on anybody, but thank God for them. Because if God can do something in them, he can also do something in you. So, what is it, my brother? What is it, my sister, that you've been trying to hold, but it's now getting too big for you to keep it? And the only way it's going to last is that you got to give it to God. What is it right now that you just keep trying to hold on to, and it's getting heavier and heavier, and if you don't give it over to God, it ain't going to just get in trouble. It's going to put you in trouble. It's going to put you in distress. It's going to frustrate you. That's right. Going to cause your pressure to go up. So that's my word to you today. Give it to God. It's too big for you. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, give it up. It's too big. You can't hold it any longer. It's growing outside your control. You want to see it fixed? Give it to God.